Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your sassy host, Joe Shortridge, and his sassy sister.
Hello, everyone.
Shorty.
How's it going, Jen?
It's going really good. We are in the midst of Halloween season.
Yeah.
We're so excited because all the spooky things come out at this time.
That's right.
And spooky stuff. Spooky people and spooky stories.
Anything happen in the house lately?
Yes, something very, very strange happened. Now, I haven't, I've seen shadows, right? And you saw a shadow in my house. Seen a full body apparition, but I've never seen anything like fleshy colored.
Okay.
So sitting in the living room on the, love seat, and I was watching TV, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a head pop around the corner.
Oh.
Flesh colored.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'm seeing stuff. And I saw it, and I was like, okay, I'm going to shut my eyes, and I'm going to look over there. And I looked over there, and it was gone. I was like, okay, maybe I'm just seeing things, or lights from the TV.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and it happened again.
Oh.
I saw it this time. It was a flesh. It was like a face, but I didn't notice any hair on it. So I don't know, but it was just very bizarre. And then I got the creepy feeling. You know that creepy feeling? Your whole body goes tingly. And I'm like, I got to walk in there to go to the bedroom. You know, like I didn't want to walk through my dining room, but I did it. I was brave squaw.
I did it.
So, but, you know.
I'm chugging
things
along.
Things happen.
I'm doing a lot of research for the book that I'm going to write about the Giants. You know, I still don't know a title. I still don't, you know, I'm just in the... Just in the starting
development stage,
and
you'll be fine. I'll help you.
But I'm getting that together. I'm going to get together a YouTube channel devoted to it.
Cool.
And I'm also going to get the speech going because, you know, we come to these events. We need to start being speakers.
Yes. Everybody hire us to be speakers at your events.
I'd like to be your speak.
That's a private joke. But speaking of speak, we have a very special guest with us today who has some incredible paranormal activity stories to tell us. With us today, we have Scott Runyon. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, you have a nice voice for the radio. We love it. We love it when people have, like, really great podcasting voices. But tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into the paranormal? What sparked your interest?
My interest sparked... I was about 4 years old, seen my first ever apparition.
Wow.
I remember like it was yesterday. Woke up in the middle of the night, seen a woman walk out of my parents' bedroom. She was dressed like a 1920s outfit.
Okay.
Bright red dress, got bigger at the bottom, flat brimmed hat. She had long white gloves come up past her elbows. She had a purse on her left arm, was pulling her other glove up her right arm. Walked through. It never scared me or anything.
Did she acknowledge you, or was it just more like residual, like she was just doing her thing and not noticing you?
More like residual.
Okay.
But it just sparked my interest, and I've been able to see things like that my whole life. And then one night, I was looking for something to watch on TV. Come across a show, said Ghost Adventures.
Huh.
Clicked on it, and before the end of the show, I was online buying equipment.
Wow.
And that's been 8-10 years ago.
That's incredible.
The bug hit him.
And hard. Very hard.
But, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, for you to be sensitive like that, you really, you have to open yourself up to different types of equipment and different ways to research the paranormal. I mean, if you have that sensitivity and that gift, why not explore it?
Yeah, I'm fortunate. I had an attachment on me about 2014, and my spirit guides have closed that gift down.
Oh.
I'm working now on trying to get it back open.
Okay.
But I had attachment. I didn't even realize I had it. I finally got it cleansed off me New Year's Eve 2017, 2018.
Oh, that's great. That's so incredible.
How long did you say you had? Did you?
From 2014 till New Year's Eve 2017, 18.
Oh, wow.
And so for our listeners who don't know what feels like to have an attachment, can you kind of just describe what you go through when you have one of these spirit attachments?
I've actually got one on me right now.
Okay.
I'm trying to work on getting control of, but it'll bring you down depressed. It will mess with things going on in your normal everyday life. You just don't have any energy.
Yeah.
It really affects you. And it, I just moved into a new place. When I moved in, I started getting activity in the in my house.
Wow.
It went as far as open, closing the bedroom door when I was ready to go to bed. I would go to work, and I would have a DVD in my DVD player that I had set next to my TV on the floor. I came home, and the DVD player was closed, but the disc was maybe sitting on the floor a couple foot away from me.
Oh, wow.
I thought, well, maybe the puppy figured out how to open and close the DVD player.
Yeah.
I'm trying to debunk it.
Uh-huh.
The last time it did it, I came home, it was sitting on top of my TV.
Oh.
So there's no way the puppy's going to get it
yeah.
up there.
Yeah.
And then wow. it went from that to, actually, I thought somebody was trying to break in my house one night.
Mm-hmm.
Door slamming, door handle trying to twist. I opened the door, and there's no one there.
Oh.
And it's done that three times now.
Wow. It takes a lot of energy to move things for these spirits to, like, be able to, you know, interact with material objects.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty powerful spirit you got there, Scott.
Yeah, I've had talked to a few people that said they're not strong enough to help get it off me.
Yeah. Now,
man.
The spirit that's moving stuff in your house, do you feel that that's the one that's attached to you, or do you feel that's something separate than that?
I think it's one that's attached to me.
Okay. Mm. All right.
But I actually talked to someone that helped me go home, be very aggressive when you walk in, so you only love light,
mm-hmm.
white light here, loud here. If you're not, you need to get out. I've done that, and I can feel energy in my house.
Okay.
Come down, and I have not had hardly anything happen since I've done that. I just got to keep working on getting that. And I need somebody that's strong enough to work over,
mm-hmm.
work me, cleanse me, to get this attachment off of me.
Yeah.
I have somebody that I'm going to have come and help you. Sarah from Haunted Toledo is extremely great at doing that and doing house blessings and cleansing. So I'll get you guys in contact after the show here.
Okay.
But, yeah, she's really helpful. Now, do they bother you all the time when you're there? Like, do they wake you up when you're sleeping? What's going on?
No. Not really like that. It would just occasionally let me know it was there.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing was, I'm an upbeat person. Usually always up, happy, good mood. And it was starting to bring me down,
mm-hmm.
depressed.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest thing I needed to get over.
Yeah.
Because I'm generally not that type of person.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, spirits or negative energy entities don't have as much power as the living. So, you know, you have power over them. You can tell them to go away. Like, mm-hmm. and you can do blessings and cleansings, but you have to know that they have expiration dates, right? So, like, you have to redo it every once in a while. Where do you think you got that from?
Investigation I was doing at, firmly, it was Monroe House in Harper City, Indiana.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's a... They have... like negative or demonic things going on there, or
there,
or
I'll put it this way, that house has never let me down.
Mm.
With the, and I've been to, you know, the Mansfield Prison, I've been to Waverly Hills, I've been to a lot of places that have a lot known to have a lot of activity,
mm-hmm.
and I've never experienced anything like Monroe House.
Wow,
that place has never let me down with activity, it's always been very highly when we were there.
Now, knowing that you have an attachment, would you go back to that location? Like, do you think your attachment would go back with you, or?
I was supposed to go back the 21st,
mm-hmm.
and I could not make it. I got ill, didn't feel well enough to go, so I think there was something stopping me from going there.
Yeah, it could be the attachment not wanting to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and
thinking
it's
you
doing
might
everything.
Drop them back off and
well,
leave
yeah.
them there.
Oh, I would be happy to.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, don't find a Myers parking lot to drop them off at.
Yeah.
You know, that's, but you never know because that spirit attachment could be controlling you enough to make you sick so you can't go back there and drop them off. And I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I've heard that before. Where now, have you experienced any type of strange dreams of someone that you don't know that could be that attachment?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
The first attachment I had, I did.
Okay.
But this one I have now, no, I have not experienced anything like that.
Okay, so you did say that you lived in a house that has a lot of activity. Or did you? I'm sorry.
I live in a mobile home.
Yeah.
An older mobile home. And the activity started, I know, when I come in.
Okay.
What I've had, where I sat down on the bed getting ready to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And my door would open and shut a couple times.
Okay.
Bedroom door.
Okay.
And then what I said about the DVDs getting
taken
out of my DVDs. And then the front door.
Okay. Because I was wondering, you know, when you were telling me about that earlier, I was wondering if it was caused by that attachment or not.
I firmly think it was. I was talking to a
because I know of mine. I know I asked you, you know, is it? Do you think it is that attachment? But lots of times, the houses will have a little activity, and then when you get that attachment, it ramps it up to where the spirits are almost like competing with each other to get your attention, and that's why I kind of sidestepped your question. And you know, when we hear people that have attachments, the activity does jump up in their house. Just
You know, it hasn't jumped up. I picked up about last October.
Mm-hmm.
I was inspired. I was living with some family for a while and just got my own place finally.
Yeah.
And it never showed till I went to my own place.
Okay.
But when I did put things on my wall, my decoration, I got shelves when you first walk in. I put a Bible on that shelf, one of the shelves. I've also got a larger crucifix that was actually handmade and painted from nuns did it.
Oh.
I've got that hanging on the wall. Mm-hmm. So that's very strong. It means it was made by the nuns.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine told me that I just made it very upset.
Mm.
So they feel that's a lot of the reason why it's showing now, because of just the Bible and the crucifix.
Yeah.
I'm trying to show it. And then after it started really getting me bad.
Okay.
The depression and everything.
Mm.
When I finally did come home and got aggressive, told it had to leave.
Yeah.
This is my house. The only light, love, positive can be here. If not, I had the door open. I said, you leave this house now.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy ever since I did that has been a lot lighter.
Okay.
In the home.
That's great. Yeah, because you have power over it. You know, like, they have to listen to you. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have free will.
No. Have you noticed?
That's why they attach you, right?
Have you noticed those two items moving or anything?
No, not since I come home and did that.
Okay,
that's good. Are you sensing anything here in this location right now? We're recording in the Collingwood Arts Center, and this is your first time here, right?
Yes.
Okay,
this is my first time here.
But you said you saw something. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you saw over there?
Oh, actually, it wasn't me, it was my nephew.
Oh, okay. So it's nephew.
Yeah, my nephew. This is the first time he's ever done an investigation. He's talked to me about it, and he decided to come up and join in tonight. And we were standing over inside the stage talking, and he looks at, well, Joe was standing there, and I was, and someone else standing there. He said, was there just a little kid over there? And we all said, no. And he's seen a little kid going and kind of duck down into the chairs. Seats.
This place is really something, though. You know, there's all kinds of activity in here. But seeing that you have that sensitivity to spirits, I'm just wondering if you were feeling anything, or if you feel like your attachments may be a little stronger being in a haunted location.
I've been able to feel things. You know, I'd be standing there, and you know, you can always sense when something's around. And there's been times I've been standing there talking to someone and felt like something walked by me. I felt that a few times in here today.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of strong energy in here.
Yeah.
And I think somebody who isn't sensitive feels that as well when you come in this place.
Yeah, I was talking to Christopher St. Boo, and he said, here, I want you to look at this, and he handed me something. And the energy from what he handed me, I looked at him and said, that energy is just unbelievable. And it's like, oh, I want this, but I look at the price ticket and set it back down.
Yeah, that's the thing. You come here and you want to buy everything because everything's so cool, right? Like,
yes,
so many cool things. But no.
Everything in my living room I bought from Christopher St. Booth.
Wow.
My pictures. I've got a Ouija board that I put in a frame hanging on my wall. All the pictures, everything, the crucifix, all come from him. My whole living room is decorated for paranormal.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Tell us a little bit about your adventures in Waverly Hills.
Yeah.
Did anything happen there?
Yeah, Waverly Hills actually went there on a public investigation.
Okay.
There was my ex-wife and myself and one of our investigators. And I was really disappointed in Waverly Hills.
Really?
Till we got to the fourth floor.
Okay.
My one investigator, she's a very strong light. We was down in the operating room, and I've investigated long enough, I can tell when something's starting to affect her.
Yeah.
This is the second time I've seen it happen to her. So I told my wife at the time, I have my SLS camera, I handed her, or I said, we got to get her off the floor.
Yeah.
Well, it's 3/4 of the way down the building to get to the stairs. I'm almost dragging her, so I started getting aggressive with whatever's attaching to her.
Yeah.
You know, this is my group, my team, I need to protect them. Well, all of a sudden, I hear very large, heavy footsteps coming up behind us.
Wow.
And I'm trying to drag her down. Well, my wife went in the staircase. I got her to the staircase. I kind of push her in, and she looks at me and says, no, stop. I said, no, you go. I stepped back in the hallway.
Yeah.
Now, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, so it was quite dark, but as heavy and loud as these footsteps were coming up behind me, if it would have been, you know, a flesh and blood person, I would have been able to see him.
Hmm.
There was nothing there.
Yeah.
And these were just not normal. I mean, it would have had to be somebody probably 400 pounds as
really?
Loud as these footsteps were. And with, you know, heavy boots on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I can't stand. I want to stand here and see what this is, but I got one of my investigators being attacked. I got to protect them first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had to leave the hallway, but I want to go back and see what was there.
Yeah. We've been wanting to get there. We were there one. We did a conference out there, and I didn't know that you had to have, like, reservations months in advance.
We just showed up, tried to get in, and they're like, no. We're like, okay.
We waited out by the gate, and they're like, well, if somebody cancels, we'll let you in. I'm like, nobody's going to cancel. You make those reservations months in advance. I didn't know, you know? So we didn't get to go in, and that's one of the places that I'd love to investigate.
Yeah.
Because all the stories we've heard about that, you know?
Yeah. Went on a public investigation, which they put quite a few people, and you only get an hour on each floor.
Mm. Okay.
So it's got to be your, you know, quick
okay.
investigate on that floor. It was definitely where it took something off my bucket list.
Yeah.
But when they were taking us on the tour, the woman was taking us on, my group on the tour, we was on the first floor, and she's talking about a little storage room. And you always let somebody go in there. And thought, well, this young girl never investigated anywhere. You know, this is the first time because it's public. You get a lot of people who have never done this before.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I'll go in. She's not even in there 10 seconds, and she's screaming, let me out, let me out. Something's moving in here. So the one investigator that night, she said, well, send Scott in.
Yeah.
And the girl takes us to her, looks at me, you want to go in? I said, yeah, sure, I'll go in. Well, my stuff, I'll walk in. You know, she asked permission to go in because I forget who they said was supposed to take that. I walk in, she's talking, well, people can hear me outside talking. And they keep looking at me, is he okay? Is he all right? Of course, when you've investigated for a while, what are you going to do when you get in a location like that?
Yeah.
You know, can you do something to let me know you're here?
Mm-hmm.
Can you move something, make a noise? I'm talking like that in there, and everybody outside that means it's all people with very little, if any, experience at all, think I'm going nuts inside there. So then everybody said, no, that's what somebody that's investigated for a while does. So you go in and you ask them to try to do something.
Yeah.
So I come out and they told me that, and I couldn't help but laugh.
Yeah.
So if you cross that one off your bucket list, what is on your bucket list that you haven't been to? Where would you like to go?
Bobby Mackey's.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been to Mansfield Prison. I was there Black Friday last year.
Wow.
You know, I've been to Thornhaven Manor, been to Waverly Hills. I've hit a lot of the larger ones. And I'm trying to think of the location. Herb Brewmeister, Box Hollow Farm.
Okay.
Oh.
I've been there twice.
Wow.
And now you can't get a private investigation.
No.
You got to, the owner, it got to be too much for the owner.
Okay.
Because that house is so large just to take care of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And then plus, both the husband and wife are in the medical field. So they're very busy at work, and I forget, it takes them over a day just to mow the yard with the fast return mower. So they handed all the paranormal investigations over to one of the larger groups now.
Oh, okay.
So I got one of the last private investigations right through the owners last year.
That's really kind of an honor. I mean, we did the same thing at St. Joseph's, and we look back, we're like, we're the last group. that could go through, you know.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, it doesn't really mean anything, but it's kind of like an honor thing, you know.
That's it. Now, there, a man going alone down in the pool room.
Yeah.
We'll get activity. Yeah. The first time I went down, I went with a little bit larger group, and there's a meeting. It says Herb likes to look out the back window to where he would actually burn the bodies, dispose of the bodies.
Oh, really?
I set my spirit box down that window. Yes. Herb, are you here? I got it crystal clear. Yes.
Wow.
Out of the whole group, I'm the only man.
Yeah.
I said, Herb, I'm the only man. Do you want me to go down the pool room? Again, crystal clear, yes. If I go down the pool room alone, what are you going to do to me? Choke. I said, okay, I'm going to the pool room.
Yeah.
Oh, God. He's going in. He's going
in. Yeah.
We also had another group. There's the Old War Museum over in Auburn, Indiana. Investigated over there. And we're seeing shadow figures move at the end of the one hallway.
Okay.
Had two other people with me, and one had either had my spirit box or my ovulus. And one other investigator had my other one. Well, one of them said demon, and the other one said devil.
Oh.
And we're watching a shadow move at the end of this hallway.
Yeah.
So I take off running towards the shadow when I hear that come through the ovulus and the spirit box. I make it halfway down to the shadow, and I turn around, and they're gone. I walk back out in the common big middle area out there. I put my hands up in the air like, where'd you guys go? I said, well, no, that, we're running. I said, yeah, I was. I wanted to go find it.
You call on the spirits. Come talk to us. Come talk to us. And then when they do, everybody runs.
Yeah. I'm the one that runs towards them, even if it says, you know, devil, demon. Uh-huh. I run towards them. Everybody else runs the other way.
It is.
So out of all those places, is there any place that you wouldn't go back?
I have not found anywhere that I would not go back to.
Okay.
Nothing, but I guess I'm just, if I run, if I see a demon devil and I run towards it, it's going to take an awful lot for me to say, no, I'm not going in there again.
And so, Scott, you know, when you go into your investigations, what's the first thing you like to do going into a new place? Like your first time at Waverly, your first time in Mansfield. Do you like to get a lay of the land? Do you like to do, you know, just kind of a walkthrough or... Do you research at all, or do you like to go in cold and just see what happens?
I'm one that likes to do a little bit of research. Mm-hmm. I've investigated on the team I used to run that like going in cold. Mm-hmm. She would start to meditate on a place and get the feeling from that because she was very open, very light. I like to do a little bit of research, get there, be outside a little while, look, start to get a feel, and then walk in from there.
Yeah, because, you know, everybody has a different style of investigating and different things that they like to do. So I always like to know, you know, do you go around with your K2 meter and do you check temperatures? Do you check, you know, winds going through? What else?
Well, you basically do your environmentals.
Yeah.
And go through the place to see where the vents are, where the, you know, the... Wi-Fi signals are coming from, stuff like that. But that's one thing I like to do is I don't like to know the history of a place. If I'm doing private investigation or whatever, I don't like to know the history of it so that we go in and we do get evidence and then we can compare later to say, oh, wait a minute, that's been going on forever, you know? And it's just...
Yeah.
It's
different style.
Different styles.
Yeah, everybody's different, you know?
Different styles for different types of investigations. Like if you're going into like Waverly Hills, you already know what's going on.
There's so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been on every show, right?
Yeah.
Some of them more than once.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, so my nephew come down, first time he's been interested, talked to me about the paranormal, first time he's come on investigation. And I told him this would be a great location to come because there's so many people you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got one way of investigating. Dan? You know, and Joe, you spent some time talking to him.
Yeah.
You know, you explain things to him so he can speak to so many different people and get different opinions on what to do. So this would be a great location to start at.
Yeah. And very active.
Yeah.
Very active. I mean, I did mention a couple of places that you need to go to, and I'm not going to tell you what goes on there, but so that later when I get the message. You won't believe what happened.
Hopefully I'm sending that to you.
Yeah.
But you know what's great about this place, especially for a first timer? It seems like every time somebody comes here, there's activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we've been in places, and you've probably been in places too. You sit there for 8 hours and nothing happens.
Yeah, exactly.
And then on the ninth hour, all of a sudden, everything starts to happen. You know, people get discouraged after like 6-7 hours of sitting in the dark, right?
I've talked to a lot of people that are watching all the shows that are on TV now. And I'll tell them, so you got to realize them shows are for entertainment.
Yeah.
They got to keep, you know, people watching it
mm-hmm.
to keep it going. I said, when you go out on to do an actual investigation, in real life, it is nowhere near as fast as the show is.
Yeah.
Right.
And I've talked to people, well, I thought I would go in and just listen, 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 this would happen. I said, no. So you can
don't
go all
work
night.
Like that.
Yeah, you can go all night at times and have absolutely nothing happening all night.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next group go in and you'll hear from them. And, you know, they was there a week later and, you know, everything was going crazy for them.
I mean, that's like we were talking earlier about you when you pull up to a location, turn on a recorder. Because you never know what's going to happen, you know. And most of your stuff that happens before the investigation.
Yeah, I've unfortunately been at that spot. This is the first time I went to Fox Hollow Farm.
Yeah,
we were taking a little bit of a break. All the cameras and everything are inside the building. We're standing just outside the door. Turn around and I watch an apparition. I can see from the waist up, walk alongside the wood line.
Yeah,
and another investigator standing next to me, and I could see out of the corner of my eye where her head's moving, and we started talking just back and forth. You know, I would say a little bit of what I seen, she would say a little bit,
mm-hmm.
so we could put it together, and we both seen the same thing.
Oh.
And it's been on the shows and that before also that they've seen that.
Okay.
But yeah, my camera's inside.
Ah.
I never thought about bringing it out. I set it down on the table because we was taking a 15-minute break.
Yeah.
We stepped outside, and I was like, why does this happen when I don't have my camera with me?
Really?
It's cool because it's personal experience, but man, it would have been great to, you know, capture that. And people don't think of it. They go to locations and go in the building. You got to go outside the building.
Yeah.
Look at the land. Mm-hmm. Look at the layout. You know, what is around there? You know, are you near water? Are you near a cemetery? You know, what's going on outside of the building? What are the outside influences?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, if you're close to water, water builds energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like last night we had the major storms come through here.
Yeah.
Major storms.
Every time this convention goes on, it thunders, it lightnings, and it rains.
Yeah. So I was thinking last night, I said, hopefully it picks things up here.
Oh, it's going to, believe me.
Yeah. Actually, I've got something called a dandy. It's actually got 3 pendulums hang down from a crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And they get enough energy, them 3 pendulums start to swing.
Wow.
And each one's got a different tone.
Wow.
And I just had it setting up on the windowsill. And I say, watch, you know, in the middle of the night, this thing's going to go off. I had it plugged in. And I was sitting there, I was saying, ding, ding, when that storm was just starting.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, okay, maybe it's a wind coming through the window.
Mm-hmm.
But the storm is still going on, and it quit doing that. So it's like, okay, you know, it's kind of gives you a little bit more of a feeling. If it would have kept going the whole time the storm and the wind was going, okay, maybe a little bit of wind. But I walked up by it and I could not feel no wind coming through my windows to make that move. So okay, it's building energy because storms do that.
Mm-hmm. Now let's switch gears a little bit, and before we let you go, I want to let our listeners know about your Facebook pages. You're an administrator on a couple of pages.
Yeah.
It's, and groups that I've joined, and I really like the interaction that people put on there.
Yeah, you know, one of them is Bigfoot, Littlefoot. One is Parunity.
Okay.
Which we're trying to do in the paranormal community with that is to keep so everybody don't get, you know, we don't want people coming in and really starting a bad mouth because everybody can. You can show a picture to 10 people and get 10 different reactions from it. You know, we don't want people coming in being negative. We'll remove them from the group.
Yeah.
You know, just be respectful in what do you see here and show them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
a healthy discussion.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
And everybody has their own opinions. Everybody can see different things. And sometimes, when we've talked about this before, is where people will see something and see something completely different because the spirits put that in their mind.
Yeah. Like I said, you can show one picture to 10 different people, and they're going to see 10 different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's
or
great.
Or they could all see the same thing affirm something, you know, which is really cool. What about the Bigfoot Littlefoot? What's going on with that group?
That group goes, I've never personally, guys, something I would like to do, but I've never done any investigating with the Bigfoot. But we have a lot of strong people that do a lot of research in that group, along with our paranormal group.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people that have a lot of experience, investigators. So if you're curious and want to learn more, go ahead and join. Ask the questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got a lot of people with a lot of experience, and we've even got one that's Yeti. It's a Yeti group.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, and we got a Mothman group.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Now, there's a story down in West Virginia, right, the Ohio Line Mothman, that's intrigued me for years. I drove a truck called Steel for years.
Uh-huh.
I drove in and out of that area for years. So it's just kind of, I've talked to people that actually was around back then.
Yeah.
And would tell me, they've seen it.
Wow.
That's something. Knowing the history of that, it just amazes me.
Yeah. The one that would say that the Mothman took the bridge down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where I learned how to drive truck, was down that area.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of steel mills and things down there that way. But, you wonder, too, raw materials coming from the earth, what is sparking that?
Yeah.
But, you get around water. You get, in this area, too, we're on limestone, we're on salt, the salt mines, the salt flats under Cleveland, Detroit salt. Mm-hmm.
I think that's huge. All
plays into energizing the spirits here, just in the Great Lakes region.
Yeah.
Having the water of the Great Lakes, the salt mines, the limestone, the forests. Ohio's a huge, huge sightings.
Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah, sightings here in Ohio.
The only thing I would love to do is go to Put-in Bay and go under the wineries out there. And maybe take K2 meter and a recorder down there.
Yeah.
Because, what I've heard is that was used for the Underground Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. They would take slaves out to the island.
Mm-hmm.
They would hide them down in them caves. Mm. And then the next move was freedom to Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you're right there at the border from Put-in Bay.
Yeah.
So, I want to, hopefully I have my boat in the water next year. I want to go out there
that
and take a tour and take
really
a recorder. And
even being on the water and recording.
I've never heard of anybody doing that, so that'd be something very interesting.
Don't tell anybody.
Friend of mine.
Don't tell anybody. We only have a couple thousand listeners.
Friends of mine started doing that.
Yeah.
And they go out on a pontoon boat, and they do boat fishing. And they said, we were talking about that, and they said, we're going to try it. And they started taking K2 meter, Mel meter out, and was surprised the activity they were getting.
Wow.
So they started taking recorders out with them, and they said, it's unbelievable. Just being out in the middle of the lake. The activity they were getting.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool.
I've never thought of that.
We got shipwrecks in the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
You've had people for hundreds of years using those waterways, living off the land. We have a lot of Native American spirits. It was the Great Black Swamp. So you had people coming through, on their migration from the east to the west. So there's a lot of spirit activity, I'm sure, that's in this area that remains.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
But we really want to thank you for coming on. It's been interesting talking to you all day. It's been an honor to meet you.
Yes.
It's nice to
put a name to a face, right?
Yes,
because you meet people on Facebook all the time, and how often do you get to meet them in person? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've met so many people here today that I've been friends with forever on Facebook.
So cool.
Yeah.
And it's nice to put the Facebook.
Yeah.
And you have something to do tonight, so we got to let you go.
He's got an investigation to get on.
The investigation's getting to start here in a little bit.
I got a dinner and then an investigation.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, Scott, we wish you the best of luck. We're going to get rid of that attachment that you got.
Yeah.
We're going to work on that. But anytime you have a story to share, you're always welcome back on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah,
enjoyed
it. It was awesome. All right, everybody.
Thanks
Joe,
for listening.
Say a goodbye, Joe.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And let's leave you with some Slave by Dead in Five.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.